Good morning. Good morning. My name is Pastor Jason. I'm one of the elders here at Lighthouse, and it's such a blessing to be together this morning as a church family. And that is the series that we're going through right now. It's entitled Family in the Gospel, Families for the Gospel. And I love this idea of family because it's such an apt picture of what a church should look like. Even society at large sees the value and blessing of family. You think of like the Partridge Family or Family Ties or Family Matters. There's so much like love and support and connection going on. Some families, a little more maybe dysfunctional, but in the end always loved each other. You think of All in the Family or Modern Family. You know, sometimes family was the most important thing, almost to a fault. You think of Romeo and Juliet or West Side Story. You know, often family ran beyond blood, but really was the community around you. You know, the Fast and Furious franchise, if you've seen that, was built around this concept. Dom Toretto told us in one form or another, pretty much in every movie, I don't have friends, I have family. You know, many of you are from Asian backgrounds, and the importance of community and family is a cornerstone of so many Asian cultures, so everyone is either uncle or auntie, whether you're related or not. Now, the Bible uses the same concept for the church. We are a family in the gospel, and we should be encouraging one another to live out the gospel. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the blessings of youth group and how we can all be part of this ministry. You know, it really takes a village, a family, to help raise our kids. And I know my family has been personally blessed by so many of you in this area. Last week, we looked at marriages and how strong marriages lead to strong families. And next week, we'll be looking at speaking specifically to grandparents and the idea of how we can leave a legacy of humility. But this week, our focus will be on small groups, which really are smaller communities, smaller families within the larger family. Now, Pastor Matt, he's actually the pastor overseeing small groups, and Pastor Kim is the elder who oversees that area. So I guess they were both busy, so they went with their third choice here. Actually, I believe I was asked because I've actually been involved with and helped lead small groups ever since we started Lighthouse. So this is not to be a humble brag in any way. It's just, you know, I'm old as the hills, basically. You know, since we started Lighthouse, I've been involved with like almost 38, I think, different small groups. Our house has felt the joyful wear and tear of countless kids just running amok during our meetings. We've crammed close to 40 people in for celebration dinners, and one night we had, I think, about three people show up. I've had the blessing of co-leading with at least 15 different folks. I've lost count. We've covered everything from Two Ways to Live, you know, about sharing the gospel, to Crazy Love, which is just living radically and generously for Christ, to Side by Side, how to walk alongside one another, to the cross-centered life, to countless sermon studies, and the list goes on and on. We had one memorable small group night where we took a party bus to get tacos near downtown LA. You know, I can't really go into more detail because, you know, what happens in small group stays in small group. But I wanted to spend some time with you this morning thinking through small groups. You know, I wanted to simply look at one, you know, why do we do small groups? And two, what do we do? What should we do in small groups? And then also give you some practical stories of what this can look like. My hope is that we can all see the many blessings of small groups and be encouraged just to get more involved. So before we begin, let me just give this time up to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, would you bless our time now as we continue to explore the idea that we are a family in the gospel? And particularly in this area of small groups, help us to continue to see the value and joy of just walking together in this way. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first idea then is, why small groups? You know, interestingly, if you look up small groups in the Bible, you won't find any explicit command that a church needs to do this. But there are some hints. For instance, in Acts 5:42, it says, "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus." So even the early church, they met together in the temple and in smaller settings from house to house. But what I want to show you, though, is that small groups just makes a lot of sense when we consider what we're called to do as a larger church body. You know, God gives us a few commands of what to do as a church. We should meet together regularly for corporate worship. We should take regular time of communion, like we'll do this morning, to remember Jesus. We should baptize new believers. We should make disciples of all nations. We should be praying together. You know, these are some of the key things every church should do. On a more individual level, we're also called to practice the one another's within the church family. You might wonder, what are the one another's? And the Bible tells us things like love one another, bear one another's burdens. So these are what we call the one another's. All told, in the New Testament, there are about 59 verses commanding one another's. Some of these are repetitions, so there's probably right around 47 different commands for one anothering. About a third of these deal with unity, like have peace with one another, be of the same mind as one another. A third of these involve just loving one another, you know, being devoted to one another. And there's also ones involving humility, like serving one another, wash one another's feet, basic ideas of being hospitable to one another, don't judge one another, and so on. Now, how a church carries out these basic principles for corporate gatherings and practicing the one another's will look differently depending on its size and its resources, the giftings of its members, the local community that the church is situated in, the opportunities the church may have, and so on. So there's not just one way to do this. Now, most churches traditionally meet once a week for corporate gatherings. It may be one big service or multiple services like we do. Some have different days where they meet, or maybe satellite churches. In addition, some churches will have regular prayer meetings. Some will do street evangelism. Some focus on community outreach. Some are really strong in educating and equipping through classes. Some use music or art in just amazing and creative ways for the gospel. And some churches do all these things well. And I love hearing stories of different churches and how they minister to their communities through creative ways that are so unique to their people. As for the one another's, churches quickly realize that 2 hours on a Sunday morning simply is not enough time and interaction to really fulfill these commands. Now, hopefully, much of this happens organically outside of Sunday mornings. And I know at Lighthouse, our church family practices these things pretty much every day. You know, people go grab coffee, they meet for accountability, they go on trips together, they help out when someone's sick. And as an elder, it's truly a joy to hear of the countless stories and ways that our church family loves one another. But as most churches find to be true, one of the best ways to allow for this type of community building to happen in church family is through small groups. You know, some churches, they might be called life groups or cell groups or koinonia groups. But the idea, and our key idea for today, is to have some more structured time for small groups of folks to regularly meet and live out the one another's together. In a church our size, as we get bigger, it can be hard to get to know people. And you may feel a bit lost no matter how intentional you're being. So small groups is really meant to be a tool to connect people to be involved in one another's lives. Plus, in small group, there's like this randomness of the people who sign up. You don't know who else is going to be in the group. So I love the diversity that occurs as you get folks of all ages and backgrounds coming together. When I meet new folks here at Lighthouse, one of the first things I encourage them to do is to sign up for a small group. You know, this is one of the best ways just to start getting plugged in. In fact, I would argue that the crux of ministry at Lighthouse happens in our small group times. You know, we have corporate worship and teaching of the word. Like Pastor Gavin said, that's the heartbeat of our church. But I think the real sharpening and figuring out how God's truth is applied to the messiness of our lives and just the opportunities to pray specifically for one another happens so often in our small group times. So as an added encouragement throughout this morning's message, I wanted to share some testimonies through different quotes and videos from some of our current and recent small group leaders to help kind of fill out this picture of what small groups can look like. So one leader shared, "I really love that in small groups, multiple demographics gather together and age gaps are bridged and marital statuses, education, job status are irrelevant. It is a place where our common bond and our desire to know Christ better and to love others more." And I couldn't have said it better. So hopefully that gives you a picture of why we do small groups. What a blessing, what a benefit it can be. So the second idea is, what do we do in our small group times? What do we do? For that, let's turn to Acts 2. We'll be looking at Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. So this is a picture of the early church. You know, Jesus, after his resurrection, he stayed with the apostles another 40 days. Then he ascended into heaven. And soon after, believers were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And from this, the church grew from about 120 people to thousands and thousands very quickly. So this passage describes what they were doing, what that early church did. So starting in Acts 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and all had things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So I think this passage is so useful for us today. It's not that we have to do everything in the same way that's described in this passage, but it helps us to know what things we ought to be prioritizing when we meet together. And the first idea of what we need to do is just to commit. So this is not so much what to do, but just an attitude of how we do it in. You know, it says here in this passage, they devoted themselves. You know, in spite of the hate and the ridicule and persecution these early Christians faced, they committed themselves to the Lord and to one another. You see, it's one thing to say that you believe, but visible faithfulness, devotion, is the mark of genuine salvation. You know, we can say we're saved, but just never get involved, never show devotion. In a big church like ours, it's easy to come and go on Sundays, but in small groups, you can't hide, right? In fact, you have to sign up to get into small group, and some of you know the challenges of that this week. If you don't do your study during the week, it's harder to participate. You agree to bring snacks. You might help lead worship. You might lead the group or offer up your home. You pray with the same smaller group of folks week in and week out. You've basically declared that I want to be part of this small family and really part of Lighthouse, part of God's kingdom. And this is such a blessing with small groups. We purposely and actively devote ourselves to one another. I want to share a quick video. This is from Chris, one of our former small group leaders for the Young Marrieds, and just kind of a picture of what this commitment can look like.
Another encouragement, I think, as for my family, for my wife Linda, my son Caden, is, again, as Tony said, just not as much of a community, harder to be connected to the Lighthouse. And so the small group really helped to foster a community that was out here. And I've seen just more energy and just people that they could interact with.
Yeah, they stayed past 9 p.m. These young folks are pretty wild. But such a blessing just to see them making this a priority. Yeah. One of our women's small group leaders shares the story of how the group committed to come alongside one of their members. One story involves a sister who is struggling to fight an addiction. She has been open and transparent in her struggle, which is so apparent when she invited members of her smaller prayer group to walk alongside her, hold her accountable, and pray for her. It has been wonderful to see how the women have been an encouragement to her by checking in on her, sending her scripture, and of course, praying for her and with her. What could be a lonely journey has been one that has brought women together to point each other to Christ and encourage each other's faith. And what a picture of women, these women just coming alongside and committing to walk alongside this sister who was hurting and encouraging and just loving her. You know, we have some folks in our church who live quite far away from the Torrance area, maybe 30, 40 miles. And it can be hard for them to feel really committed or devoted because of the distance. I want you to hear from Jason and Tony. These guys help lead our SGV, our San Gabriel Valley small group, and just how they kind of commit to being connected.
Another encouragement, I think, as for my family, for my wife Linda, my son Caden, is, again, as Tony said, just not as much of a community, harder to be connected to the Lighthouse. And so the small group really helped to foster community that was out here. And I've seen just more energy and just people that they could interact with, that I could interact with, you know, to help us feel more connected with the church. And yeah, it's just been such an encouragement, you know. I mean, there's responsibilities and it's time as leaders, but really I think that Tony would agree that we've gotten so much more in return.
Amen.
Just the prayers and the smiles and the, just the warmth and just the community that's up here and just the encouragement. So it's just been a blessing that's, you know, unspeakable. So
I love these guys. I've heard so many great stories of how they've been ministering to the folks out in San Gabriel. They've been trying to get me to come out and bribe me with good Chinese food, so I need to get out there soon. And yeah. Another blessing from the pandemic was the opportunity to just continue to meet through Zoom. And in fact, we've continued to have a few virtual groups even now as things have opened up. It's just an opportunity for those who maybe are farther away, maybe have little kids, have health concerns or other reasons, and continues to give people an opportunity to commit to one another. And this brings us to our second idea of what to do within our small groups, is just the idea of learn. You see, the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. God's gave us his word so that we can know who he is, and he's our creator and Lord. We also know through God's word who we are. You know, we are his creation, his children, but we've all rebelled and decided to live lives our way instead of his. And this is what the Bible calls sin. Because God is holy and perfect, he must punish sin. And that's the bind that we all find ourselves in. We are sinners deserving of wrath with no way out. But God's word also gives us the solution. You know, God in his love sent his son, Jesus, in the form of a man to live among us and to live perfectly obedient and then to sacrifice himself on a cross to take the penalty of our sins. And then he rose again in 3 days, showing that death is not final, but that we too can live eternally with God if we simply believe that Jesus died for our sins. This is the gospel, the good news. And this is what we need to remind ourselves and one another of every day. And just because we're saved doesn't mean we're perfect. You know, we can still sin and struggle. We make bad decisions. We might get angry or anxious or stressed or depressed. We still have conflicts with coworkers, with our spouses, with our roommates. But the power of the gospel, this good news, now allows us to fight against that sin, to transform our hearts, to choose to follow God's way. You know, we need God's word to show us the way. And the great thing about small groups is that here we can create that time and space and intimacy and comfort to work through these tough issues together. We can find wisdom together. We learn to apply God's word to the common and complicated struggles of life. You know, let's say you're struggling in your marriage. You can't just look up on YouTube and follow steps 1 through 5 and do it yourself fix, right? We need to do the hard work to find wisdom in God's truth and principles and figure out how these things speak into our marriages. And we often need help from others to help us because we have blind spots. We help us see our sins and our weaknesses and our deceptive hearts. You know, here's another quick testimony on how Chris's group just spent some time just studying God's word together.
During one of the Young Married small groups that Rachel and I joined at Lighthouse, we had a separate men's Bible study, and Dan Smeltzer organized it in the STAB format, STAB being an acronym for Summary, Theme, Application, and Best Verse. And every day we would study a passage together, starting in 1 John and then later 1 Peter, and we would read a couple of verses and write on a piece of paper what we learned from it in that STAB format and send it to each other in a group text. And that was so helpful for me to see different insights from the other guys and also an encouragement for me when I didn't feel like doing my devos and my heart was too busy, that I would be prompted and encouraged to read the word and to also want to follow suit. So that's one way that we practiced studying the word together.
Man, how great is that? You know, another leader shared, one season, one of our co-leaders held an extra workshop to teach the inductive study method. She prepared worksheets, brought out colored pens, and had a passage prepared for us to practice on. Of course, the other leaders were excited to participate in the workshop, but we were so thrilled when the majority of our small group attended the workshop too. It was really encouraging to see one of our small group leaders use her gifts to help everyone in the small group grow in how to study God's word. Again, how cool is that, right? Just let's be creative and figure out ways to learn together. Now, if you're a small group leader and you're hearing these stories and maybe feeling a little guilty, like you may not be doing enough, you know, that's not the idea here. These stories are meant to encourage and give us all some fresh ideas. And again, it's not one size fits all, but each group can find its unique way to do things. And don't feel like you have to do all this extra stuff outside of small group time necessarily. Personally, I've tried to even be creative during the small group time. You know, maybe try to help look at things from a different angle, or throw out an off-the-wall question just to prompt discussion and deeper thought. Or maybe come up with a thoughtful icebreaker to kind of trick people into learning something. And this brings us to our third idea, is that of fellowship. The early church, as you read through this, seems to do a lot of this. They were constantly together in each other's homes, sharing meals. And when we think of fellowship, we typically think of this, hanging out and doing things together. And that's very much a big part of fellowship. It's a word that comes from the Greek word koinonia, which carries the idea of holding something in common. You know, one of the things I like to do in my spare time is play roller hockey. I play on a team, just sort of guys who are like friends of friends, acquaintances, but we all come together as a team. You know, we have a love for hockey, which we have in common. There's a lot of camaraderie as we stick up for one another on the rink. But outside of hockey, I only really spend time with maybe a few guys from the league. And some of us, we may see church fellowship that way. We show up on Sundays, maybe even a fellowship night, but it's really a compartmentalized part of our life. Or some may see fellowship like joining a country club or a gym. You meet together regularly with folks to play golf or tennis or work out. It's a lot of fun, but there's some folks at the club you barely know or haven't met. You know, a lot of the connections tend to be more superficial. But you see a totally different picture of fellowship here in the early church. You know, what they had in common was an uncommon love for one another and for God. And as you read this, you can just feel this palpable joy as they're regularly sharing meals together, giving generously with one another so that no one was in need. You know, Christian fellowship, because we share Christ in common, is characterized by love, intentionality, sacrifice, caring. And this is yet again why family is such a good description, right? Families stick together through thick and thin. Families take care of one another. A Christian fellowship is not meant to be like a 1 or 2 day a week affair, but it's meant to be part of our regular daily rhythm. You know, we are a church family who live and walk life together. And small groups, again, such a wonderful way to foster this. There's a built-in regularity with folks who are just right in your local area. And so much fellowship, both the hanging out and caring for one another, can spring up from these connections. You know, here are a couple of stories of groups kind of just finding good ways just to hang out and fellowship together.
Hi, Lighthouse. I'm Kevin.
I'm Andrew.
And we led the Young Married small group last year. One thing we enjoyed doing as a small group was having casual hangout time together. We would go to the park or have board games, and it was just a great way to live life as a small group and enjoy fellowship as well as enjoy God's gifts.
We had a mix of people who had been at Lighthouse for a while as well as people new to Lighthouse, and so these events were helpful to just be able to fellowship in more of a casual setting as well as invite other people outside of our small group as a way to get to know each other and break bread together as well.
Yeah, so we're really looking forward to what God will do in small groups this year.
I love how they're just trying to find great ways to connect new and old, right, and just bring people together. Here's another testimony from Brother Rubens and their group.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rubens, and I co-lead a small group here in our house with Daniel Pio. And one of the things we did with our small group about 4 years ago is we all went camping, tent camping in Santa Barbara. And the idea came from the members of our group after discussion time and during snack time. And it was a really fun time with really good food, pork belly, kimchi fried rice on a cast iron griddle. And we had impromptu talent show by the fire with, you know, all the kids had a great time. We went to downtown Santa Barbara to the beach and had McConnell's. So it was a really, really fun fellowship time and really appreciate that the members in our group are the ones who come up with these great ideas because they know DP and I need help. So, yeah, thanks.
And I'm leaving my group to join Ruben's group. That is so cool. So fellowship, yeah, definitely involves just opportunities to interact and hang out, but also involves just caring for one another. So let's hear again from our SGV folks and just kind of some neat ways they found to kind of take care of one another.
So one thing we intentionally do is to have someone throughout the season reach out to the new member and be able to share a meal together, Zoom together, pray for one another. And the whole idea of just making sure that person completely feels connected.
And oftentimes it's not just through us, right? Through the seasons, initially it would be us as leaders, but over time I think people just as a group, organically, other members would reach out to each other. So we just keep track of that as long as we know that people are being reached out to, particularly newer members. One thing that I can think of that we did as a group, it was one of the seasons, we're still Zoom, but it was the people, it was opening up, and so people were more freer to go out and whatnot. And so one of the things that we thought as a group, and really the members came up with the idea, was to have these weekly challenges. Initially it was one weekly challenge, and then it just kind of became, well, why don't we make it a progressive weekly challenge with a prize of unspeakable value at the end of the season. So, and the group was leading it. You know, they would come up with, a couple of members would come up with ideas and just share with the group during the group study, and then it just a challenge through the week. So as an example, first week was walk and talk. You know, find someone in the group or find multiple people and go and hike and just have a chance to catch up and fellowship and bond. Another challenge was eat and sip and talk or something. But anyway, it was eating together. And again, whether it was online, whether it was in person, we just saw that it was just such an opportunity for people to meet with new people. And there were groups of two or groups of three, four. And people did multiple things during the week. And it was just fun to watch the group bond and meet new people that they don't normally interact with. And it was just a nice little motivation, right, to get up and get out. Our group has a private Facebook chat group and or group, and it's just also a place that we could post photos and things of some of these events. And so it kind of was fun to cheer people on and just see how people smile and different things that people came up with. One of the challenges also was a share and care, and that was the name of it. And it was really about finding someone, getting together, and then sharing your testimony. And so that was really encouraging as well. So it was, you know, it just runs the gamut of trying to find ways to create opportunity for people to learn and grow with each other. And there was no photos on that. I think that made a lot of sense. The name of the challenge through it was Hunger Games. So if you like the name, it was the group that came up with it. If you don't like the name, you know, Tony and I came up with it. But overall, it's just such a blessing as leaders to watch the group sort of organically, you know, just find ways to reach out and share and motivate and encourage and just find joy in each other and supporting the group or supporting people in the group. So that was a very big encouragement to us, I think, as a group.
And it's neat to see in the past couple of sharings, just it's not just the leaders, but the members were all taking initiative, right, and reaching out and encouraging. And I also just love, again, how intentional everyone is in just trying to connect people. And this brings us to our next idea, just point to Christ. You know, the breaking of bread here is speaking specifically about the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the communion. Breaking bread can also carry the idea of just sharing a meal together. And it seems like here they were probably doing both. They were taking communion and eating a meal together and doing it day by day right in their homes. Along with praying together, this seems to point to the depth of intentionality and care for one another. You see, when we take communion, we're called to remember what Jesus did for us and also take the time for self-examination, purging of the sin in our lives. Likewise, when we pray, we take time to confess our idols. We're trying to grow in our dependence of Jesus. So fellowship is to be intentionally Christ-centered, because what truly brings us together is the grace of Christ. And when we are intentionally getting to the level of who Christ is in my life, who, what he's doing in my life, what areas am I struggling to become Christ-like, what's going on in the heart, this is where we can truly practice the one another's. This is where accountability and counseling, encouragement, discipleship really takes place. This is where ministry happens, when Christ is working in our hearts. So clearly, as Christians, we must make time to talk, and we need to talk with purpose. And again, small groups, that, it does that, right? It's a great springboard for intentionality and intimacy, just in order that we can point one another to Christ. Let's hear again from Chris and his small group and kind of the openness that he was blessed by.
For fellowships and small groups, one of the most encouraging things for me was when other small group members either shared not only about how they were doing, but also what God was doing in their hearts. And it was most encouraging for me when they shared openly and humbly about the very real challenges that they had, whether that was in work or marriage or other personal matters, just to see them bring that before God and really trust that God would be working through it was just such a blessing to me. And it also pointed me to look upwards and to depend on God even for my own struggles.
Another leader shared, God has been so very faithful to provide in so many different ways, and in each has provided spiritual encouragement for all. The start of spiritual encouragement is a safe space that small groups provide for honest and deep sharing. Small groups offer opportunities to not only be nurtured through the small group study, but for each of us to be an instrument of God's love through listening, sharing scripture, and prayer. Let's also hear from some of our ladies. Alice and Jen help lead our women's small group.
Hi, I'm Jen DeBacco.
I'm Alice Davis, and we're in the Thursday morning women's small group.
Yeah, so you're asked to share some stories about small group, and one of my favorite memories is really about like breaking bread together. So we had one of the moms in our small group, and she invited myself and my mom and another one of the younger girls in our group over to her place to cook a big meal and to spend time together. It was such a fun day. We spent all day cooking and laughing and just sharing some like hard things that were going on in each other's lives. We got to pray for each other. It was such a sweet time together. And then after hours of cooking, and man, can she cook, let me tell you, we got to have a bunch of friends come through all day. So we had drop-ins and to-go box pickups and hangouts. And it was just this really special time of being able to be in homes together again, which it feels like it's been so long since we've been able to do that. And just really appreciate and enjoy the time together. And personally, one of my favorite parts about it is I feel like this mom just so embodied this idea of like a Titus II women, really bringing up younger women and leading by example and showing them how to do practical things like feed our friends, but also just love on each other and disciple one another and pray for one another. And I think even like outside of this event, that's been one of my favorite parts about our particular small group. I love that, you know, I'm like a practice age, like single woman who's like in the working world, and I get to hang out with like all these incredible women coming from different places, and so many are married or moms, and it's like so special because the thing we have in common is Christ, and just getting to like gather around that. That's like been one of my favorite parts.
I think especially like in a time where we're just looking for people who are similar to us, small group is a place where all those differences don't matter, right? And we are just there to really just study God's word and to fellowship. And actually, it just brings us even closer together. Awesome.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, I should just skip this whole preaching, hit play. That was so good, just summarizing everything. And this brings us to our last point, and that's evangelize. You know, the last verse in this picture of the early church tells us that they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Isn't that amazing? You know, they were fellowshipping and worshiping, and God was using this to bring new believers into the church family. Now, we may not think of small groups necessarily as evangelism, but in many ways it can and it should be. You know, it's happening right in our neighborhoods and in our homes. There's such a visibility to it. You know, when our neighbor asks us, you know, how come every Friday night you have these folks over, you know, we can tell them we're having a small group Bible study. Why don't you come join us? You know, it's an easy access point for non-believers. When we are praising God together, doing things in the community as a small group together, we too can find favor with all the people. We're called to be the aroma of Christ. Christian fellowship and service to the outside world is so unique. It's foreign. It's different, but it's also special. You know, what they see is this uncommon love we have for one another. And the Bible says they will know us by our love. And that love makes them curious. And the answer to that curiosity is Jesus. Let's hear again from our women's leaders just about how they were able to be lights to their community.
Yeah, just wanted to share this one time where one of the gals in our group, she came to a small group with just a really heavy heart. And she had an interaction with a homeless woman, and she was with her children. And she took the time to speak with the woman and pray with her. And after that, she came back in the car and talked to her children about it and prayed with her children. And she was able to share that during small group. But we could just feel, I think we could feel how heavy her heart still was for the woman and her situation. And it was just neat that our whole group really came together and not just comforted her, but decided to really put the gospel into action. And so the women came together during one of our off weeks and donated items like snacks and socks and hygiene items. And during that week, we all just came together and made these blessing bags to keep in our cars so that when we would come into contact with somebody who was in need, we would have items to give out to them. And we even included a Two Ways to Live, which is great, so that we have just a talking point to share the
gospel.
And
those, like, little hand, like, personalized handwritten notes.
That's right. Yeah. That was so fun. And just, we prayed over the bags, which was so wonderful. And so I think just to share her heart and her burden for the people who find themselves in a difficult situation, it was just a really wonderful time of fellowship as well. And so, so I just really appreciate how we get to really live out the gospel through small groups.
Yeah, like the fact that she shared her heart with us and the way that she was hurting gave us an opportunity as people who, like, hadn't been in that same experience, in that same place, to get to love on people in a way that we, like, might not have without her being a part of our group.
Exactly. So I really appreciate small groups because it's such a safe place to share. And where you can pray for other people but also be prayed for. And so,
Man, just what a thoughtful and creative and loving way to share the gospel. Such a blessing to hear. Now, when we use the metaphor of family, you know, some of us come from messed up, broken, dysfunctional families, and this metaphor may not sit as well with you, or it may not seem like something we should be necessarily striving for. But you know what? We're all sinners, and we all come from messed up, broken, dysfunctional families. And the church family is no different. We have problems, conflicts, disagreements. We sin against one another. And in small groups, we mess up too. It's not always sunshine and rainbows like our testimonies that we've been hearing. You know, sometimes someone just talks too much, or someone doesn't talk enough, right? Sometimes there's people who disturb controversy or tend to derail our conversations. You know, sometimes someone responds poorly to another sharing. Instead of listening with empathy, they may be too quick to jump in with a quick fix. You know, sometimes someone shares a burden and no one knows what to say. You know, sometimes we disagree over an interpretation or an answer. You know, sometimes we just don't show grace. We don't give the benefit of the doubt. And what family isn't like that, right? We all have that uncle or that cousin, or maybe it's you. Yeah, but we have the gospel. In the gospel, there's true forgiveness, there's grace, there's hope. Because of the gospel, we can connect and encourage heart and life transformation in ways that those without Jesus lack the power to do. You know, hard things, they don't stop us from being a family. In fact, hard things should draw us closer. We are a family in the gospel. You know, last season, we had about 366 people join 20 of our small groups. And we just had signups this year, and we anticipate even more. And this doesn't count even our fellowship groups, like Beacon, Spectrum, Compass, Branch, Vision, Praxis. This is a blessing to see so many folks already involved in these ministries. You know, our timing this time was a bit off since we had small group signups last week, but there are still a few spots left open. I know they're hard to get. It's easier to probably get a BTS ticket than a small group spot. Wednesday nights is also an open group that you can drop in on. But I hope that you can also see small groups isn't the only way we live out this idea of being a family, and that you will continue to find loving ways to care for one another. I'm pretty sure this is the first time that we borrowed a sermon title from Vin Diesel. I don't have friends, I have family. But brothers and sisters, because of Jesus, we are so much more than friends. You know, we are co-heirs with him. We are spiritual siblings. We are together children of God. We're bound by the blood of Jesus. We're striving to become more like Jesus. And we're destined to spend eternity together as a family with Jesus. My hope is that this morning you've gotten just a bigger picture of what small groups are and can be, and that you would be encouraged to let small groups just be this beautiful place where ministry happens and where we grow together in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, it is such a blessing to be a family together in the gospel. And we ask, would you continue to help us live out this call of the one another's, that we may continue to point one another to Jesus in our small groups, in our gatherings, just in our everyday living. And may we walk together with intentionality and with love, all for your glory, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.